This show is brought to you by ERN. Find us online at ernlive.com.
You are listening to Working Mother Radio. We are continuing our conversation about breastfeeding and that first month of life with Dr. Dina Blanchard. Thanks so much for being here with us today and sharing your story.
Of course.
When we left off, we were talking about your third child and your experience. You had changed lactation consultants at that point, and you had received some more physical knowledge that you hadn't had before that you wished you had had prior.
At that point, we already had a lactation consultant who was working in the practice, who I had actually brought in about a year prior, because after I struggled so much with my second son, so I had two not real positive breastfeeding experiences, was determined to take that away from all other mothers. And so we brought in a lactation consultant into our office who would see moms and babies in our office through insurance, which we continue to do, and it's a big part of our first month period. But I basically became friends with her, and I had her kind of at my disposal. So after I had my third son, when things weren't going well in the hospital and I was having nipple pain, I was on the phone with her from the beginning. I was extremely proactive. I didn't wait till my nipples were cracked. And she was at my house literally like within an hour of getting home from the hospital. So I was really, really proactive about it. But there were things that she told me that I just didn't know. So she was like, oh, do you use a breastfeeding pillow? I'm like, no, I don't need that. And she's like, well, maybe you just want to try it. You know, like sort of in that same vein of, well, I don't need support. I don't need this. You know, sort of, and I always talk about how you need support emotionally and practically, like you need somewhere to put your arm, you know, and it actually made it so much easier to breastfeed him. And then she just showed me kind of different positioning techniques that I would have thought after having breastfed two kids, worked 10 weeks with a lactation consultant last time, been a pediatrician at this point for, you know, 6 years in private practice plus residency, I would have thought I knew it. You know, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that that was kind of what you were aiming for, sort of just different little small techniques that were really helpful. But most importantly, she was like, Dina, you need to reframe your language, because I would say things like, you know, well, I don't have enough milk, or, you know, I'm just lazy because I can't put him on the breast again. And she was like, stop thinking like that. She's like, say to yourself, the baby wants to nurse. Maybe the baby wants to nurse because he's hungry. Maybe the baby not wants to nurse because he's self-soothed. If you've lost your mind and you've had enough and you don't want to nurse him, you have other options at that moment. And it just really helped me realize how important it was to reframe kind of what we were talking about before, the way I was thinking, reframe the way that I kind of defined and experienced breastfeeding, stop self-shaming, stop self-blaming, and let myself experience the experience. And when I was able to do that, which I will not say was super easy for me, but I did work through it, I loved breastfeeding David. I'm still breastfeeding him, and he's 18 months. I'm like, I have no desire to wean. He has no desire to wean. I would never, of course, I counsel people, you should wean. You don't have to wean. You can breastfeed until it's mutually enjoyable for mom and baby. I just never would have thought I'd be breastfeeding my son at 18 months. And I said in the article, it took me 13 years and three children and lots and lots and lots of education, education, to like breastfeeding. And that can happen. You know, I'd like to think that right now I try my best to avoid that happening for other moms that I come in contact with in my practice so that they can enjoy breastfeeding sooner, but that you don't have to imagine that it can't be a good experience. And the most important thing, I think, if I could give one message to moms, is that it's not an all or nothing. And I think people feel that way, that either you have to 100% breastfeed or you have to formula feed. And it doesn't work like that. If you breastfeed and formula feed, whether it's 90% breast milk, 10% breast milk, 70% breast milk, you are a breastfeeding mom, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And don't let people shame you. And that, I think, is like the one message I would give.
And it's hard, because I was always at a split. I was never 100% breastfeeding, and it was so difficult to be proud of that. It was because there were so many other people out there telling me, you know, that I should be doing more. I was doing what my body could do, you know, and
that
you
were probably working your butt off to do it. You know, that's exactly right. You want to be proud. And I say that, like, every drop of that 10% breast milk, if you're 10% breastfeeding, is 10% of your hard work and commitment. And you should celebrate that that. And it doesn't make it any better than the person who's doing it 100% of the time.
Exactly. And I know that now, but I wish I'd known it then, you know? And so the main reason that why I wanted to bring your story to our listeners. Thank you so much for being so open and sharing with us today. We really appreciate it.
Of course. It was my pleasure. And of course, you know, my main goal is just to help moms have better experiences. Moms and dads, of course.
I'm Bettina Fisher, host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio, and we have just enjoyed a wonderful conversation with Dr. Dina Blanchard. We're going to be back with more baby information right after this.
This show is presented in part by Subaru. Love. It's what makes Subaru a Subaru. We'll be right back.